Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, and a happy day to those of you who are listening. If it's your first time, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. Good news for you. And I'll tell you why, because modern medicine, modern science is delivering. And the world will change over the next 50 years in profound ways. We're starting to see it little by little. That Angelina Jolie article a number of months ago in Time magazine. Do not kid yourself. Soon to be, you will be genetically profiled. And I don't want to say to your dismay, I want to say if you have the right perspective on it, to your advantage, you're going to be told just what percentages are that you may get certain diseases. And if they're already in your family history and your genetic profiling says that those diseases may be on the way, well, that's a good heads up if you interpret it correctly and understand it. There's another few things coming down the pipe. One of them is stem cell therapy. And today I want to go into one of, no doubt, great medical revelations that are going to impact us deeply over the next 50 years. And I want to point out, as always, that there's already something working within us that's already got the edge on stem cell therapy. But what is stem cell therapy? What do we mean by a stem cell? Where do we get stem cells? What's the big hullabaloo all about? Stem cells on some level are ethical issues. So let's first define the terrain, and then we're going to move it to where we always do, and that's to that divine natural system in your own body. That's a surprise for later. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, get to picture number 13. If you're just driving, and this is your first time, just listen hard. Picture number 13, that you have to go to the literature section, just click it. The pictures will come up relevant to today's show. And click picture number 13 and it'll blow up for you. Take a look at a number of cells. Those cells are what it looks like just a few seconds after sperm meets egg. After the sperm penetrates the egg, we start to develop these multicellular systems. And when it gets to the blastocyst stage, meaning once you have right at conception, and just a little bit after this expansion of multiple cells, those cells have a special quality. And I want you to get educated as to the word undifferentiated. Those cells on that picture, those cells, if you're just driving, that grow into a 5 and 6 and 7 cell stage, those initial early embryonic cells are undifferentiated. And that means they haven't declared who they are yet. They don't have an identity. They're not liver cells. They're not kidney cells. They're not nerve cells. They're not heart cells. They're not lung cells. They don't know who they are. They have an identity crisis. And those cells are valuable. Because if you can take those cells and preserve them, if you can take those cells and multiply them, if you can take those cells and inject them into somebody, if you can take those cells and tamper with them correctly, effectively, then you can put those cells into another body. And those cells injected into the organ, the dying organ, the diseased organ, the irreversibly fibrotic organ, those cells offer the possibility of regenerating that dead organ. So if you're in renal failure, if you're in cardiac failure, if you're in hepatic failure, if you're at the end stage of some terminal disease, theoretically, if one was to inject those undifferentiated cells taken out of an embryo or derived from an embryo, now let's not get into the ethical issues here. Let's just understand the terminologies. If we were to take those cells and interact them with a dead and dying organ, those cells will take a cue from the last yells, the last pleas from the dying organ to become new cells so that that organ can live. And the body understands how to prompt these cells. There are all sorts of mechanisms and signals that will ingratiate these embryonic stem cells into new organ tissue. Now, that's the hope. That's the dream, in short. Left lots out, of course, but that's effectively it. And, of course, because they're derived from an embryo, there's ethical issues about this. This show is not about that. It has nothing to do with that. This show is to tell you what they're not telling you, what they're overlooking, what they're just mentioning. And that is that our bodies are already equipped with stem cells. They're not embryonic stem cells, but they're called adult stem cells. And what we're going to do later today is examine literature, much to the surprise of researchers, much to the surprise of nephrology, cardiology, much to the surprise of modern medicine. We have found over the last decade that our bodies are already loaded with adult stem cells. But you see, in the literature, unfortunately, this wonderful find is dismissed because these adult stem cells in your dying heart or dying liver or dying kidney are of limited value, as they term it. So there's something interesting that this stem cell therapy, this wave of the future, is reminiscent of something that's already functional in the human body as it is, but it's been termed partly irrelevant, limited in value. So they mention it, and before you even read the last page, the last print on the page, they're on to talking about embryonic stem cell therapy, which has its ethical issues. And because of those ethical issues, what has happened, and I want you to turn to picture number 14. Look at those two gentlemen, Shinya Yamanaka and John B. Gurdon, for the discovery that mature cells can be programmed to become pluripotent. Now, what are we talking about? Once again, another concept. So you've got that embryonic stem cell therapy in mind. You've looked at that picture. If you're not looking at the picture, you're imagining that early phase of human life, those first few days, where that little embryo, maybe 5 or 6 or 8 cells, whatever it is, are termed pluripotent. Or actually, I think they're totipotent at that point, but that's irrelevant. The point is, embryonic stem cell therapy is one ethically controversial issue. So what we just gave the 2012 Nobel Prize to, were two gentlemen, Yamanaka and Gurdon. We gave them the Nobel Prize for taking effectively skin cells, adult cells, normal cells, cells that comprise organs, and messing with them genetically. We took adult cells, normal cells, and messed with them genetically to produce what we call pluripotent cells. And if you're looking at that picture, those men were both given the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2012 because they developed a technique that allowed a normal healthy cell to be reprogrammed to become pluripotent. Now, what's that got to do with the stem cell therapy I just explained? Well, it has a lot to do with it. Number one, you don't need an embryo. That's really big, because that's the end of the ethical issue. If I told you I could scrape some stem cells off your cheek or the underside of your cheek, and I could reprogram them to become pluripotent, meaning I take their identity away, interesting way to look at it. You take the identity of the cell away. It doesn't know who it is anymore. And because it doesn't know who it is, it's impressionable. And yes, those pluripotent cells can be cloned, meaning replicated, and then injected into the site of interest. That's use. This is termed, okay, in the medicine, this is termed reprogramming the pluripotent stem cell. It's induced pluripotent stem cells. If you look at picture number 12, there's just a little sticker for what these guys received the Nobel Prize for. All right, so somebody says to you, stem cell. You don't have to think embryo anymore. You have to think that these two gentlemen just got the Nobel Prize for perfecting a process that we call induced pluripotent stem cells, iPSC, induced pluripotent stem cell. And this, of course, is big news because then you skirt the embryo issue. Now, there's some drawbacks to it, but nonetheless, this is huge. Can you imagine that? To take a skin cell and to play with that, reprogram it, as we say. Reprogramming means we're flipping some genetic switches on and off within the cell. That's the non-technical way to look at it. And what you're left with is a cell without enough identity to be malleable into wherever you need that cell in the body. So take it now, make it pluripotent, multiply it, and inject it into whatever site you want. Now that's the Nobel Prize for medicine. You don't get that unless you're in. Meaning, there's no argument. We can do this now. So these guys took it a huge leap, skirted the ethical issue. And now you understand, not all stem cell therapy has to do with little babies and embryos. That's not what the show is about. The show is about this. And this is what I am consistently bringing to you. This is what I'm consistently proud to bring to you. And again, if you read the literature, not the nutrition literature, not the Townsend letter, not the local health food newsletter, not the stuff that circulates in naturopathic schools and acupuncture schools and chiropractic schools, but the stuff that circulates among scientists, many of whom are medical doctors, many of whom will publish and whose names will disappear from the print, from the papers, from the news, or we'll never get there. If you go into the literature, you'll find amazing things. And once again, here's something I found amazing. Now go to picture number one. Again, another peer-reviewed, extremely respected journal. If you look at the name of it, Life and Death of Cardiac Stem Cells, this is big. I can't tell you how psyched I get about this stuff. Here it is, right there in the dust once again. An MD, a PhD, and a couple of more MDs at New York Medical College, Valhalla, New York, wherever that is, at the Cardiovascular Research Institute. And what are they going to find? Just like we found about the liver. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Go to the archive section. Listen to the show last week. Read the literature. I hope you guys read some of those articles. At least peruse them. Told your friends about them. Told your friends who have been told that their liver is kaput, that there's nothing that can be done, that they have irreversibly situations in the liver, irreversible scarring of the liver, or something we call cirrhosis. And it's end stage, and there's not a thing to do but pray. I hope some of you spread that article around. Because here's another one. Only this is on the heart. So, I want you to click picture number one. And you're going to look at the places I've asterisked or put in brackets. Really easy to do. And here it is, delivered to us on a golden plate. The recognition that the myocyte, a myocyte in this context simply means a cardiac cell. So we're talking about the heart. your heart, my heart, everybody's heart, and what that heart's equipped to do, which is the news, because they didn't know this, or they claim not to know it, and it's been recently discovered and confirmed. But where is it in the literature? Why isn't this on the cover of Time magazine? Why don't you know this after your heart attack? Why don't you know this in early stage congestive heart failure? Why is it about being told when you've had a heart attack, when you're in congestive heart failure, why are you told that you're going to end up terminal? Because you are. Because these things are termed chronic progressive diseases. We can prolong the inevitable end. That is one terribly depressing piece of news. And yet in the literature, already we're suggesting things we said we didn't know. Read about it. The recognition that the myocyte occurs in the fetal, neonatal, adult, and hypertrophied heart, and that a pool of primitive, undifferentiated cells, undifferentiated meaning stem cells, is present in the myocardium, has put forward a different view of biology. The new paradigm suggests that myocyte formation is preserved during postnatal life, in adulthood, pointing to a remarkable growth reserve of the heart throughout the course of life of the organism. Is that not enough to make your week or your day? It makes my year. Look at this. This is where you point your head when you're sick. Because this is true of all organs. And I don't care if they have it. If they haven't discovered stem cells in certain organs yet, they're wondering whether stem cells live in the adult human kidney. They used to be wondering whether they occurred in the heart or were in any cell at all. And little by little by little, the publications mount. Of course, the gentleman that wrote this article weren't talking holistic health. There's another piece here. And that piece I'm going to supply to you later. And I'm going to ask you to think outside the box and look at the big picture and understand that there just might be a perspective here we're missing. That if you take the time to put together the pieces of the puzzle, you're going to end up rather enlightened. Or should I say educated? Or should I say you're willing to think a little bit ahead of your time? Or should I say that in 1490... the earth was flat until Columbus proved otherwise? Or should I say that in 1895, I love this kind of stuff, don't you? In 1895, they told women at Radcliffe College that if they played basketball, that their organs would fall out through the vaginal canal, that their stomachs and their livers would just drop and sink to the bottom, and they would prolapse out their vaginal canal. That's what they were told. Women who couldn't vote in 1895, women who really had no place except to make babies and put up with it, were told by Dr. Naismith, he invented it, were told, and I'm talking about by doctors, physicians at the head of academic universities throughout the United States. Women were told, don't play basketball because you'll prolapse your organs. In the 1930s, when Charles Atlas started weightlifting, they told him it would cause brain damage. And I'm saying to you on this day that medicine is one long history of opinions that have no basis and that yet cloak themselves in the highest accolades of exalted science. And here's another proof right in front of you. I did it last week. The liver in cirrhosis, formerly termed irreversible. And now this over here, a new paradigm in medicine, pointing to a remarkable growth reserve of the heart throughout the course of life of the organism. To continuously replace its parenchymal cells, just reading at the bottom, and that this unexpected characteristic, these guys are terming this discovery unexpected. I don't think it's unexpected. I think it was predictable. I think cultures have predicted this stuff without seeing it for many thousands of years. I don't care what religion you hail from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the Bhagavad Gita, across the board, cultures across the board from the beginning of time, and whatever that means, have suspected that there's something within the human organism. If an alignment in the spiritual context that will do things to the physiology that are what we would today term paraphysiological. Paraphysiological. This article is about paraphysiology. It wasn't normal, now it is. Once we discover it, it's normal. Before we discover it, it's paraphysiological. Do you understand that there is an entire medicine suggesting that we need to take a look at this in a very serious way? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, harping and stamping away on the theme. The theme is, look to the hard science. And why do I harp on this? Because when you get sick, when you're spinning in circles, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know what to do, I watch too many people bail on the truth. And the truth is that you can reverse chronic degenerative disease. You don't have to have a death sentence. And yet you've got to get your head around deeper concepts. You've got to use science, not what your holistic practitioner whose degree or credential or education you're not sure of. I ask you to look to the literature. That's why I take the time to do this show. I'm trying to tell you it's there. And you've got to know that or you're going to get knocked off your carpet. You're going to get intimidated. You're going to get discouraged and all this nonsense. You're being told that the world is flat. It's not flat, it's round. Look at that. This article reviews, same picture. This article reviews a large body of novel information in favor of the notion that the mammalian heart, that includes you, has been obtained in the last two decades in favor that the mammalian heart has the inherent ability to continuously replace its parenchymal. That's its organ or heart cells. Picture number two. Just click it off and click on that second picture. Look at this. The heart is a self-renewing organ. The paradigm that the heart is a post-mitotic organ incapable of regenerating organ cells was established in the 70s. They're telling us in the 70s. In the 1970s, we were told, hey, Jack, you had a massive heart attack. Well, that's it. You've lost 30% of your heart function. We can give you digoxin, which is derived from foxtail. But you do the digoxin, and that's all you can do. Just don't work out as hard as you used to. Understand there are limitations. And that's it. And you sat there at 50 or 60, knowing that basically you had become an old man. That and the loss of a few teeth and a corncob pipe, a rocking chair and a few grandkids, and there you go. Guess what? That one isn't working anymore. We have, as a nation, as a world, have decided that you don't have to be a grandfather at 60. Hey, I'm just reporting what I see. All these people coming in, they're not looking to be grandfathers and grandmothers, not in the sense of becoming inactive and stuffed into a corner. They want vibrancy till the day they pass. And it's out there in the literature, but look at what we've been fed. Here it is. The heading of the article here, the little chapter, the heart is a self-renewing organ. And yet, the first sentence, the paradigm that the heart is a post-mitotic organ incapable of regenerating its cells was established in the 70s. In the 70s, if that heart was down, you were told it's done. And this dogma, now this author is calling it dogma. That's in a sense of condescension. This dogma has profoundly conditioned basic and clinical research in cardiology for the last three decades. I want you to get this. If you're listening, get this. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get this. I don't care what you have to do. Pull your car over. Get this. And this dogma has profoundly conditioned basic and clinical research in cardiology for the last three decades. And this dogma has profoundly conditioned basic and clinical research in cardiology for the last three decades. Do you know what that means? It means the teachers who teach your medical doctors have been conditioned in a profound way this load of garbage. It means your medical doctors who don't have time to think about any of this have been taught by their teachers that the heart is kaput once it's kaput. And this author here, to this article, all four of them are calling this dogma. Do you get this? Look, if you value this show, and I certainly hope you do, get into the comment section. I'm going to ask you guys a question later on today. Not yet. But I'm going to give some goodies away, because I've got an important question today. But that aside, do you get this? If you get it, when you get your physical this year, or when you go in to get your physical and clinical exam, take that profound perspective and bring that to the dogma that has conditioned basic and clinical research in cardiology for the last 30 years. Then you get it. How deeply can you attach to it? So pardon me. Perhaps you think this is verbose. I don't. I think however much you think you get this, get it more deeply. Because this lie, these types of lies, these Kool-Aids are being stuffed down your throat every day. And when they're not being stuffed down your throat, holistic medicine comes to the rescue to stuff down another chunk of Kool-Aid. Just take this herb and don't worry, you'll get better. We got to do better than this. We have to do better than this because it's not going to deliver otherwise. There's no organ in the body. I will tell you already that at least to mid-stage fibrosis that cannot be regenerated, to mid-stage, I don't want to talk about irreversible levels. I don't want to talk about when you're dead. I don't want to talk about when they're telling you it's beyond transplant time. I want to save that for another show or a lecture or a seminar or a book. I just want to talk about the millions and millions and millions of people who are told your lungs, your heart, your intestines, your kidneys, your skin, your bones are done for, and you're only in an early to moderate stage of decay. Necrosis, apoptosis, cell death. Those of you in that state, you put the pieces of this show together. Now, on the basis of this paradigm, cardiomyocytes, cardiac cells, undergo cellular hypertrophy, but cannot be replaced either by entry into the cell cycle of a subpopulation of non-terminal differentiated myocytes or by activation of a pool of primitive cells that has become committed to the myocyte lineage. Big words meaning still no options. Either one of those two choices for 30 years, not possible. And what are we going to find? Just reach on down. Recently, next paragraph, just scroll down the page just a little. We're on that same second page. It's page number 2 in the literature section. Recently, an established notion of cardiac biology has been questioned. Do you see the evolution of science? You're reading about the evolution of science. When was this article? 2011? What was this article? 2000 what? I don't even know. 2006. Look at that. Why aren't we hearing about this? We're hearing about stem cell therapy. Of course we are. We're all up and excited about this when this article is saying these cells are already in the heart. They're there already. We didn't know it. Now we do. And then we drop the ball, right? Wrong. You see my point? Researchers have nothing to do. Most of them can barely make a living. That is the truth. I'm not talking about MDs with big clinics, taking warts off people's necks, replacing body parts. I'm talking about clinical research scientists who are also very often medical doctors. You live off grants. Grants don't pay the bills. These guys are out there. Any mogul can hire a dozen of them. And these guys are smart, and they study hard. And they're glad when they publish. And they're bound by a special code not to lie, not to exaggerate. They have to expect criticism from their peers to the standard of science. So when they make a statement like this, they're not making it up. This is what I love about science. But here it is in its evolution. Recently, an established notion of cardiac biology has been questioned. The general belief that during prenatal life, cardiac progenitor cells undergo progressive lineage commitment and differentiation, which results in an irreversible loss of developmental options in adulthood, may not be valid. Similarly, the traditional view of the heart as an organ incapable of regeneration has been challenged. Myocyte replication, that's replication of heart cell, karyokinesis, cytokinesis, and foci of spontaneous myocardial regeneration have been documented in the human heart. That's huge. Now, come on down the line. Yeah, I know. It's technical. You can understand this. This is easy. This is where it lives. It doesn't live in hype. It lives in journals. Do it. I'm going to put you through a little bit more, and then you get on the website after the show. If you haven't bought the archive, how can you not buy the archive for this show? I don't get it. Buy the archive. Print this article. Listen to the show again while you're reading it, because this is where the action is. If adult fully differentiated myocytes, about 25,000 cubic micrometers in volume, would it retain the ability to divide? Cells in mitosis before cytokinesis would be expected to be 50 cubic millimeters. Surprisingly, human myocytes vary from less than 1,000 cubic micrometers to almost 5,000, indicating that a different mechanism of myocyte formation is operable in the adult. And that's the point. They're basically saying when they do the measurements on the heart, what they're effectively finding is, based upon the rate of death of heart cells. So understand the reality about organs. Organs have cells, and those cells die. Brain cells die. Heart cells die. Liver cells die. Kidney cells die. They all die. And then old medicine comes in and says, well, once you lose a brain cell, Charlie, it's gone. Remember that one in the old days? That guy drank his brain away. You know, every time you have a sip of booze, you lose 10,000 brain cells. And mind you, young man, those brain cells don't come back. Oh, yeah, Uncle Charlie, he had a few too many. That's why he's kind of dumb. We've always been told if you abuse the cell dies. So don't abuse it. Well, that's common sense. Certainly the point is all cells die. They are calculating in this article, I'll leave that to you for later. They're calculating that based on the known rate of cell death, our hearts would burn out in about 5 years. Just calculating the rate of cell death, if the human heart were to burn as fast as we already know it burns, there'd be no heart left in about 5 years. You wouldn't have any ventricular hypertrophy. You wouldn't have any cardiac function in less than a decade if something wasn't going on. Just from the statistics, just from doing the math, we should have suspected this. That's use. And I'll leave the rest of the article to you. Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. That's exciting. That's exciting because it asks us to consider then what's really going on. Now, what's really going on is that the organ systems all in the cell from the beginning have been given their own supply of stem cells. You don't need to take them from the embryo. You don't need to induce them genetically to become pluripotent. Perhaps they're there for a reason. And this article goes on to explain, of course they are. They activate when the heart is injured. The heart's constantly repairing itself. It's a matter of what level. It's a matter of, can the heart repair so efficiently that it can regenerate so substantially? It's a matter of, can the amount of stem cells that's been put in the heart actually propagate to critical mass, to another level? Stem cells are rare. They're rare in the bone marrow. I think it's 1 in 100,000 cells. The main source of stem cells is in the pelvis, sacrum, ischium, pubic bone, ileum. All organ systems, the bone, the osseous system, the marrow being one of those systems, have stem cells. If you wanted stem cells, where would you go? Would you go to the heart, the kidney, the lung, the liver to get the adult stem cell? Or would you go to the bone marrow? You'd go to the bone marrow because the bone marrow concentrates them a lot more. But it's still maybe 1 in 100,000 cells. So stem cells are sprinkled. Now, here's where the science gets sketchy, but here's where you just might need to think ahead. Here's where you might need to just catch the parade. Here's where you have to reach into your soul and consider something. That's right. And that, of course, is the line across which it's not science anymore. Science are those big wigs way on top that just tell you no, 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 and no until we get sanction from the highest authorities. And that's, of course, why we were told for 30 years the heart doesn't have a reversible mechanism for repair. And that's why we were told the liver doesn't. Because by the time it gets up there, it's already too late for too many people. And we see this pattern repeating itself all the time when it's in the science already. But consider this. Consider if, in fact, the liver has its own supply of adult stem cells, that they're put there in the beginning. Consider if the kidney has its own supply. Consider now that the heart, formerly unknown, has its own supply. Consider that these myocytes, these cardiac myocytes, are constantly dying and constantly being reborn. Could there possibly be a way to upregulate that process? What initiates that process? And don't you think it's got something to do with the nervous system? That's a term I hope, if you're listening to this show, means a lot to you. The autonomic nervous system. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website. Follow this on the radio literature section. Look at the pictures. Follow the show. Really, really simple. Could it possibly be that we've put mechanisms in place to take advantage of those stem cells? Well, we didn't even know they were there, so this is news right there. Now, could there be other mechanisms in place that if we're in alignment with what the potential was for the cell, that we could take it to our own level of repair, the higher level of repair? The level of repair that constitutes what we call miracles. Paraphysiological. Paraphysiological levels of repair. Paraphysiological, outside the context of known science. Have you ever seen something paraphysiological? Sure you have. My last two radio shows. those articles, one on the liver, this one on the heart. 30 years now, we're saying this doesn't occur. It does occur. So before articles like this, before articles on the liver, you couldn't say the liver can regenerate. From what was formerly termed irreversible levels of scarring or irreversible levels of cardiac damage, come these articles. One minute it's verboten, the next minute it's normal. And when it's unknown, it's paraphysiological. It's deemed semantic. It's deemed simply nonsense. It's a fantasy until someone discovers it. And yet, there are always people in every single field that start to predict based on patterns. There's a pattern here. And increasingly, we're finding out that the body regenerates in ways we didn't know. And what we do is we give up our what? We give up our autonomy to institutions that tell us it's not true until we tell you it's true. Wake up. So here we have this interesting proposition. This interesting proposition that the heart can regenerate. Now, I want you to hold that. I want you to hold that static, and I want you to take a leap all the way over to picture number 17 and picture number 18 and picture number 19. I want you to look at picture number 17. It's a picture of a book by a guy named Mantak Chia. And the book's about a form of Qigong called bone marrow Qigong. Don't you find very interesting that certain martial arts, I know martial arts, we can't talk about martial arts in the context of science, because science and disease, that has nothing to do with health. So we can't say that these guys with their nunchaku sticks, these guys that do all these amazing feats, these guys who claim to live longer, do better, these guys from foreign countries, we can't claim that their perception of health as a means of resisting disease or regenerating from disease, which is their claim, we can't claim that this has anything to do with science. When science is consistently finding all sorts of new little goodies inside the human system that they didn't know were there, that's what you need to take a look at. And you got it. You know what I'm implying. I am implying that those stem cells in those organs, those adult stem cells that we already know are functional, that we didn't think were functional, that are already capable of reversing disease spontaneously in many, many observations, have another level. They're asking us to realize they're there. They're asking us. They're waving at us. But you see, we can't see it, because to see it just might mean we have to go into a spiritual view, an esoteric view. It just might mean we have to act on instinct without having material proof. And that bothers people. It doesn't bother people in church, you see. The next time your cardiologist tells you, or your hepatologist, or your nephrologist, or your pulmonologist tells you that your organ's cooked, ask him if he believes in God. I hope he's a member of your church. Ask him, do you believe in God? Because he's going to tell you, of course I do. And then you're going to ask him, well, how can you believe that if you can't see it? Where's the material proof? And that's the whole point. It's okay to believe in God without seeing it in the form of a brick or the material plane. It's okay to say you can feel the presence of God. God's within. But when you look at the cell and you can finally prove in the material sense that systems are put there that were formally told didn't exist, that are there to regenerate dead and dying tissues, and then all you have to do is piece that puzzle together with something a little bit on the fringe, something you can't see, something like the claim that bone marrow qigong and the yogas make, and all of a sudden, that's esoteric, and because it's esoteric, it can't possibly be part of reality. If you've fallen for that, on this day, change your way of looking at things. You see? Get up off your couch. Get out into the fields. And do everything that you know how to do to get yourself to a better place. Because somewhere along that path, whatever path you take towards health, you're going to hit the point where you talk to these stealths that sit there in your organs waiting to be awakened. The divine put them there to be sprinkled with the wisdom that it takes to comply a healing journey. And when they awaken, this is when you get the repair you're looking for. That's exactly what bone marrow qigong is saying. That's exactly what. Now, picture number 18, qigong. Development and practical application. Development and practical application in Wing Chun Kung Fu by Dr. Scott Baker. Crazy looking picture, huh? Another crazy Kung Fu picture. How unscientific. How audacious to link that article in Clinical Cardiology to a Qigong seminar. Not audacious. One follows the other. Once again, a concept. The concept in Qigong, in Kung Fu, the concept I'm trying to highlight for you is that you can get into the marrow of your bone in a process that Kung Fu, Qigong, yoga, the healing arts all delineate, if the person delineating it for you understands it themselves. That you can peel your muscles, that the body heals in layers. Layer 1, layer 2, layer 3, layer 4, layer 5, a bunch of layers. It's just peeling layers of garbage, spiritual garbage, psychological garbage, biochemical garbage, structural garbage. And as you peel the garbage, you become illuminated. And finally, you get to the bone. From the standpoint of bone marrow qigong, from the standpoint of other healing systems that get to the bone then begins to get flexible, pliable, soft, like a child, like neuroplastic, like pluripotent. Like if we can bend the bone, perhaps the primary progenitor of stem cell in the body, that being the bone marrow, that being the pelvis. So picture number 22, the pelvis. Picture number 23, the sacrum. Picture number 24, the pelvis having stem cells drawn out of the marrow. Look at that picture. Look at picture number 24. If you're driving, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website when you get home. Picture 24, a syringe in the ileum of a person's bone to draw out the marrow, looking for the stem cells. What happens? Look at picture 22. What happens when you become the belly dancer? What happens when the sacrum, that central bone, separates from the ileum? Look at picture number 25. Look at picture number 26. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Look at all those pictures of the sacrum next to the ileum and picture the belly dancer. Picture the break dancer. Picture ancient dance. Picture isolation of the sacrum from the pelvis. Picture peeling the muscles, the toxicity in the muscles off the bone to where you can pump those bones. Pump them, bend them, pump them, bend them, pump them, bend them. And then look at picture number 19. Stem cell qigong. You remember this day. You think this is outside the realm of science? You need to take your blindfolds off if you think that. If you can't bring this to your MD, if you can't bring this to the hospitals, if you can't ask these guys to wake up, then you don't get it yet. Because you won't cut it. Because you'll give up. Because you'll get discouraged. And it's right in front of you. These cultures have figured this out. These cultures understand long ago where our science is going to in the future. There's more science in the Old Testament than in all the books at Harvard. Yeah, there really is. Purpose and point of the show is to bridge the gap. Now I'm leading you. You're not going to find stem cell qigong in a leading cardiac journal. But look at what you did find in a cardiac journal. You found very qualified guys basically saying, we thought, they thought, we learned, and now we found what we learned wasn't true. And that's the same of the liver from the last show. Now add that to the point here, and what do you come up with? If you can't see that, I don't know what to say to you. So what do I do? I understand it, but I don't know what to do about it. That's all 132 shows. Get healthy is what you do. You do what you have to do to get healthy. And eventually, your body will start to tell you what to do. Getting healthy is listening to your body. Take all 131 shows and get to work. Pick them in any order you want. And eventually, something wakes up inside you that guides you in your choice. And along the way, you're going to detox, you're going to purge your psyche, you're going to come up with all sorts of blocks, roadblocks, perceptions of process that are self-defeating, which is just a metaphor for a lot of where you've spent your life anyway, in self-defeating attitudes. But if you hang in there, if you stay with it, something grows within you. Something grows. Something begins to guide you. Yeah, you could say it's the Holy Spirit. I would. And that's when it's all over for disease, and that's when you see your miracles. And that's really the miracle of science. The miracle of science is that it offers you, okay, an intellectualization so you can get on your own healing track. That's what science is really about. Now you tell me, somebody, okay, a bottle of reishi, a bottle of cordyceps, that's Adrenaven, a bottle of adaptogen. That's the gift. First two people that tell me what this show has to do with picture number 27. But I need something specific. I want you to look at the sphenoid bone. I want you to look at the occipital bone. I want you to look at the sacrum. And I want you to put those three bones together and you tell me how God could make those bones so perfect. And for what? You tell me for what and for how. You do not win this prize unless you tell me, first two people, what did God make these bones for? And how are you supposed to take what God gave you to a paraphysiological state? Give me something good. Give me a paragraph. Give me three sentences. It's like any great essay test. Three good sentences are worth a book if you know what those bones are about. The sphenoid, the occipital bone, the sacrum. Look at those bones. What is that, a giant moth? In that bone, in the center of your skull. In that bone, sitting in the celica turcica, is the hypothalamus and pituitary gland. What is it doing there? What is the master gland sitting in a bone that looks like a Batmobile that floats around in the center of your brain? And what's that sacrum doing? Again, the sacrum. Move the sacrum. Belly dance the sacrum. Break dance the sacrum. Get flexible so the iliac joint gets bendable. What happens when that sacrum begins to flow? How is it that sacrum is called sacred? How is it that that sacrum, when it begins to move, moves the ilium? How is it that the ilium and the sacrum collectively are the most concentrated source of stem cell in the body? Why do they call the pelvis the root from which all comes? Why do we talk about finding center? Why do we talk about shifting our weight into the pelvis? Why do we talk about moving the chi into the dantian and then generating a warmth that comes up the spine to the brain? Why do we talk about these things? Because it doesn't have something to do with stem cells, the very stem cells that we draw upon embryos for? I hope we learn this. Well, I don't care. Because it's in the earth already. If we understand this, we'll respect the earth. And the earth will respect up. If not, we're gone. We go. We've overstayed our welcome. And that's really what it comes down to. So science, the future of science can take this or leave it. But anybody that understands science, truly understands it, it's self-evident. It's no less self-evident than that God is self-evident. You understand the paradigm? If you can't see it, but your soul knows it's there, it's there. If you can't see it, but your soul knows it's there, it's there. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. 714-850-1077. Excuse me, 1007. 714-850-1007. If you need to get set on the right track. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.